What is happening, what has happened today is all the thoughts that I have had are already being reflected in Craig's song list, the things that we talked about this morning in class. I'll make a little plug for class. If you haven't been making it to class, I encourage you, as I would any time. But we've just started a new study on keeping your soul, soul keeping. Partly we'll be using some video, mostly we'll just be talking, but we did do a kind of an introduction video today to this concept of soul keeping and what that means. But we have so much to hash through and talk about. I felt like this morning that our discussion took us into, a reality that God is drawing us into that I think we're going to see when we look at some of Jesus's words this morning, that he's begging for us to come into. He's begging for us to live in this reality. I'm really touched by your songs, Craig, this morning. And I want to highlight them, take a minute to highlight the words again. I mean, we sang, but to meditate on them with you just a moment. In our class, we actually heard the story behind this hymn, "It Is Well With Your Soul." And if you weren't here to hear that story, this man sent his family. They're trying to restart their life. They tried to make some things happen in the Americas, but then it didn't work out. So he sent his family back to England. Ahead of him, his wife and his four daughters. And there was a shipwreck, and the four daughters all drowned, and he got a note from his wife that says, something to the effect of, "All have perished, what shall I do?" All four of his daughters had died. Well, he jumped on a boat to catch up with his wife, and when he passed over the spot where his children perished in the sea, he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." The idea that when peace like a river, I mean, you're supposed to draw in this imagery of this rushing water coming down, and it doesn't seem to have a beginning or an end. You know what I mean? When you're standing by this river, the water just flows, and you can look as far up and you think, where is that coming from and where is it going? When peace like a river, this just incessant peace, this peace that just seems to continue and to flow through our life, when peace is like that, when it attendeth my way, when it attends, when it goes with me no matter where I go, when peace like a river attendeth my way, well then, when sorrows like sea billows just come crashing down around me, whatever my lot, because of that peace you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, I mean, Satan get his jabs in, difficulties. Let this blessed assurance control, this one thing that I know, let this control me no matter what's happening in my life. That Christ has regarded my helpless state, the fact that I can't control any of these things, that he regarded that he saw it, and that he shed his blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Have you spoken those words in the morning to start your day? It is well with my soul. He continues, my sin. Oh, the thought. He said, just the thought of this. This glorious thought, my sin, not in part, not just a little bit, but the whole, all of my sin is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. I bear my sin no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. And then there's the part of that's I guess in a sense it's all a prayer. But this is almost directed. And Lord, directed to him, haste the day when what I believe and what I trust in and what I know and what I'm building my life on and what I'm making my decisions on, haste the day when that faith will be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall sound. The Lord shall descend. Now, do you remember when that happened on Mount Sinai? When that the people were like, God, it's you too much. I can't take it. Moses, you talk to God. This is too scary. When that happens again, the Lord shall descend. Even so, when that day comes, even so, it is well with my soul. Now, let me ask you if this characterizes you. Peace. Perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers to me, peace within. Is that you? Peace, perfect peace. By thronging duties pressed, I mean, I'm so busy, I got a lot to do. Schedule's full, things are happening, coming at me from every side. But to do the will of Jesus, this is restful for me. This is restful. Peace. Perfect peace. With sorrows surging around, like with Andrew and Jeanette, on Jesus' bosom, not but calm is found. I know where I need to go when sorrows are surging round, and I know how to go there. Jesus' bosom. Do you know how? Is that you? Peace, perfect peace. Our future, all unknown. But Jesus, we know. And He is on the throne. I love how this song touches in these different aspects of our life, the realities of our days. The worry that we have, the concern that we have, the circumstances that do arise, and yet the Christian can have peace, perfect, perfect peace. The last stanza is, it's enough. There's another song we sing, Prince of Peace, Control My Will, where Jesus is. He is the Prince of Peace. When He shows up, when He's on the scene, He is the Master of Peace. He reigns in peace. And the writer would say, it's enough. It is enough. Is that you? He says, in Jesus, He says, it is enough. Earth's struggles soon shall cease. And Jesus, again, it's part of this prayer now to Him. And Jesus, call us to heaven's perfect peace. Call us up. Help us to get caught up into the peace of You. Is that you? I wanted to meditate on those things a little bit further than just singing them and passing by, because Jesus would describe Christians, those who would know God, those who would be caught up in God's great conspiracy, those who would participate in what God is doing in the world. He says, you people are like a light on a hill that cannot be hidden. Maybe you've heard or you've seen someone in their moment, in when it just all really works well. Going to concerts is one time you can see this, is when someone who has practiced and given their life to an instrument and they just start playing it, and you get a sense that there's no disconnect between themselves and the instrument and even the notes and their own emotions. There's just no disconnect. It's just flowing and working exactly as it's meant to be. And Jesus says the life of the believer who is following in by the Spirit, following God and what he's doing by the Spirit, that's what their life looks like. And words that would describe it would be peace. Perfect peace. Is that you? We've been talking about being disciples. You know, what is it to be a disciple? How do we disciple one another? We've talked about how being a disciple is one who would follow the life of another, that they would actually pattern their life after the one who's discipling them, after their teacher. And we are called to be disciples of Jesus and also make disciples of Jesus. And so Paul would say, you know, as I follow Christ, follow me. And there is that pattern of what we're doing in Christ. How can we teach each other? How can we embrace the life that God intends for us of this fullness that's characterized by peace and joy? In fact, what we read in Romans 14 is he says, here's what the kingdom is about. It's not a matter of eating and drinking. Now, we're going to eat and drink here in just a little bit, and it's wonderful. But it's not just about that. It's not just about making your living and making sure you've got food on the table and making sure you've got whatever it needs, whatever thirst that you have in your life is quenched, or making sure that you have. That's not what it's about. The kingdom of heaven is not just of those things, but it's of righteousness. Getting it right. It's about peace. And I love the last part of this. And it's about joy in the Holy Spirit. Is that you? Because, I mean, again, the picture is that when you get this, you're like a light. You're like a beacon to people around you. You're like salt. You're the salt of the earth that just brings flavor because you've learned how to live in harmony with God. That's what it is to be a disciple. The kingdom is about joyful living that produces rightness and peace in your life by the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. That's what it is to be a disciple. That's what it is to be doing what we're doing here. Is that you? There's a couple of times in Scripture when Jesus is perplexed. Now, the reason that's so interesting and significant is that Jesus has all knowledge. You know, the reason that Jesus can change water to wine and could manipulate or do any of those kinds of miracles is that he has a total mastery of how all of that works. We call it chemistry or biology or whatever it is, for us to be discovering how all of these things work. And we've become pretty proud of ourselves and how much we understand. Sadly, sometimes the greatest, most complex processes of our life are reduced by some to just chemical reactions. When in reality, those are just us trying to understand the complexities of the way that God has made us. But Jesus has all knowledge, total knowledge. And so he can change water to wine. He can heal a person's leg just like that. We don't even know how that works, but he does. And so for Jesus to be perplexed, and that's the sense I get from this passage when he's talking to the Pharisees. And he asks this question from Luke 6. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say. As for anyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. And he goes on to explain about the house building, man building his house on sand and a rock. And you were familiar with that part. But it's that part right above it when he says, why do you say I am who I am, but then you don't actually do what I say you should do? I get a sense there where it's like, I just don't get it. I have an appreciation of this, and probably you do too, where whether it's probably from experience. And parenting puts me in this position quite a bit. Or I'll just stick with that example. Because I have lived through some things, because I've made mistakes, I want so much for my kids to just not make those same mistakes. Okay, now here's what you got to do. If you'll just do this and this and this, it's going to go great. And then it doesn't exactly work that way. And you think, why do you call me mom or dad and don't do what I say? Why do you do that? It would go well with you. And that's not to say that it's because I'm all-knowing. It's because I'm stupid and I made those mistakes. It's a little bit different with God, but it's the same idea. Jesus saying, I know where perfect peace is. I'm telling you how to have perfect peace. I'm telling you of the way of living that we're calling kingdom, how to get it right. Because kingdom is about righteousness. This is what I'm telling you. If you'll just do what I say, you can get it right. Which leads to, this is Romans 14, by the way, is what I'm quoting, which leads to joy. Joy in the Spirit, if you'll just do what I say. Here's another way that he puts it. He says, if you hold, this is John 8, if you hold to my teaching. Another probably better translation of that is if you abide in my teaching, if you abide in my word. You just hang out there. You really are my disciples. I mean, if you want to know, am I a disciple of Jesus? I'm abiding in God's word, which means I'm learning. I've got to learn about Jesus and what he would say and the way that he would instruct and set an example. I mean, I'm going to hang out there and I'm going to do it. If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. And then here's the promise. Then you will know the truth. Sadly, for so long, the idea of truth has been in some circles, in the circles that I've grown up in, truth has been constrained to a right set of doctrine. If you hold to my teaching, then you'll know your doctrine is right. And I don't believe that's the sum total of what he's saying. He's saying, if you hold to my teaching, if you'll actually know me and hang out with me, I'll show you the way things truly are. How they truly are. What we're talking about in soul keeping is that we're created to run on God, to run with God and to run on God, that he would be our energizing force, that he would be the one who gives us direction and wisdom. And Jesus is saying, if you abide with me, if you'll hang out in my word, if you'll actually do what I say, then you'll know how life was meant to be lived. And it looks like peace, perfect peace. It looks like getting it right. It looks like an abiding joy with the Holy Spirit. And I can imagine that that joy, and I'm even experiencing to a degree, that that joy, the joy is in God's nearness and what that does in everything. So he says, if you'll hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. And listen to this last part. And the truth, now that you know, now that you understand how life is meant to be working with you and God together, now that you'll know that truth will set you free. Free. And again, that has for so long been reduced to a single corollary, which is free from the punishment of sin. But what if freedom looks more like flying than being unchained? What if life with God looks like living each moment like that master of the instrument, and there's joy that just overflows because I understand the value of a moment, the value and the need of a conversation? This is funny. This is like, you know, in football, they've got the red zone, where you got to either get it out of the red zone or keep it in the red zone, depending on what direction you're going. Well, if you're sitting around Rhonda, there's like a red zone during worship. Because if she feels moved, she'll just come over and hug you or give you a kiss or whisper something in your ear. Rhonda, all during while we were singing, she's just kind of floating around back here in her own little red zone, just hugging people. And I don't even know what you were saying. You didn't come to me, but you know. I love that. No, that's not this. That's not elevating one over another. That's just saying that in a moment we can appreciate and respond. What if freedom looks more like that? Where I'm uninhibited toward right things. And I get the fact that I find that doing God's work actually does give me rest, even in the midst of all the busyness and the pressures of things. The context, and I'm just about done, the context of Romans 14 is in dealing with each other. You know, and there's some people who will eat certain things and some people who won't. And some people think that certain things are more special than other things. And we have the opportunity in relating with one another. We have the opportunity to be so caught up in the right and wrongs of another person that we totally miss what God is able to do in us and in the life that we're supposed to be living. And some basic ideas that come out of Romans 14 is, look, would you quit being so dang worried about other people? Because God's going to take care of that. God's the judge. You're not. You're not the judge. We either live and we live and we die to Christ. That's it. And everybody's going to face the Maker. And so everybody's going to have to give an account of themselves before God. You get worried about you. And enjoy the freedom of just running toward God. And here's what that'll look like. Instead of being so concerned about what another person is doing, you're going to be so concerned about making sure you're not getting in anybody else's way and being a hindrance to them. And it says, this is the kind of life that pleases Jesus. That I would get so caught up in just following the Spirit of God in my own heart and being free to move and to listen to what He instructs me to do. And it might look like reaching across the pew and giving somebody a hug in the middle of worship. Or it might look like sending somebody a text. Two people this morning sent me a text and said, Dan, I just want you to know I'm praying for you this morning. I can't tell you what that does for me. I'm sure you've received them, and I'm sure that you've sent them. That is the Spirit's work, enabling you to move in the flow of His Spirit to do His work, His life-giving work. That's what it is to be free. To know that I am actually in a dance with God. all day long. And I don't even have to worry about if I get it right, because the kingdom is about God moving us towards righteousness. It's about Him moving us in peace because we know He's doing right things. And about having a total joy in His Spirit, knowing that it is well with my soul. That's what it is to be a disciple. And that's what we're trying to do together.